4 years later, that standard was modified a bit in Johnson versus State. The Court of Criminal Appeals clarified that the reviewing court, after looking at all the evidence in a neutral light, could find factual insufficiency if the evidence was so weak as to be clearly wrong and manifestly unjust, or if the finding was against the great weight and preponderance of the evidence. And Johnson highlighted the fact that in a factual sufficiency review, the appellate court was not required to give complete deference to the jury's weighing of the evidence. And of course, if the appellate court found that there was insufficient evidence, the remedy would be to reverse and remand for retrial. Now, contrast that with the legal sufficiency standard. The legal sufficiency standard came from a 1979 U.S. Supreme Court case I'm sure you're all very familiar with. It was Jackson versus Virginia. Under the Jackson standard, a reviewing court would again consider all of the evidence in the record, but this time the court would consider it not in a neutral light, but in the light most favorable to the verdict or the conviction. Then the court has to decide whether a rational fact finder could have found all of the essential elements of the crime beyond a reasonable doubt. The court will defer almost exclusively, and I say almost deliberately here for a reason that we'll discuss in just a minute, almost exclusively to the fact finder's ability to weigh the evidence and determine the credibility and resolve conflicts in the evidence. Viewing the evidence from this vantage point, in light most favorable and with almost total deference to the trier of fact's ability and job to weigh the evidence, if a reasonable fact finder could not have found all of the essential elements of the crime beyond a reasonable doubt, then there's insufficient evidence to support the verdict. The remedy, of course, in that case would be to reverse and acquit. So comparing the two standards, legal sufficiency, consider all the evidence in light most favorable to the conviction, defer to the fact finder in weighing the evidence. If a fact finder could not have found the essential elements beyond a reasonable doubt, then reverse and acquit. Factual sufficiency, consider all of the evidence in a neutral light. Need not give complete deference to the jury's weighing of the evidence. If the evidence is so weak as to be clearly wrong and manifestly unjust, or the finding is against the great weight and preponderance of the evidence, then reverse and remand for new trial. So everything was rocking along really, really good with these two standards, factual sufficiency and legal sufficiency, until folks started noticing some problems. And there were two problems in particular. First, as you may have noticed, proving factual sufficiency was a lot easier. It's a much more lenient standard. Maybe because of that, some people thought definitely because of that, attorneys started focusing their appeals, even limiting their appeals, to factual sufficiency points rather than take on legal sufficiency. And it was just easier to prove. And what that meant that was that retrials were being ordered in cases where if legal sufficiency standards had been successfully challenged, an acquittal would have resulted. So criminal defendants who might otherwise have walked free were facing retrial because restricting the challenge only to factual sufficiency meant that that was the only remedy that was available on appeal. And of course, we can't blame just the attorneys involved. Judges definitely contributed to the problem. It's a whole lot more palatable to send a criminal defendant back for a retrial than to set him free and release him back into the community of voters. So what folks started noticing was that even when attorneys would raise both factual sufficiency and legal sufficiency, appellate judges were far more likely to find factual insufficiency. Maybe because the attorneys couldn't meet, or the appellants couldn't meet the high standards for legal sufficiency, but cynics and critics suspected there might be more to it, and maybe there was. At any rate, because the attorneys and the judges alike were opting for a retrial rather than acquittal when juries got it wrong on sufficiency, there was an impetus to get rid of the factual sufficiency standard, and that's exactly what happened. Clewis and Johnson were overruled. 10 years after Johnson, along comes Brooks versus State out of the Court of Criminal Appeals with a bare bones 4-judge majority plus 1 concurrence. Legal and factual sufficiency standards, the court declared, had become indistinguishable, and because of that, the only standard that would be applied from that point forward were the Jackson standard, was the Jackson standard for legal sufficiency, or as we now call it, just sufficiency. And in all fairness, it wasn't really a groundbreaking declaration that the Court of Criminal Appeals made there. 4 years earlier, in a case called Watson versus State in 2006, the court had already gone on record as saying that the two standards were barely distinguishable. In Watson, the court said that the only apparent distinction between legal sufficiency and factual sufficiency was the neutral light versus the light most favorable viewpoint from the reviewing court. And in the legal light most favorable standard, you know, total deference has to be given to the jury's weighing the evidence. But in the factual neutral light standard, no deference was to be given to the fact finder's weighing of the evidence, because it's not neutral if you're deferring to someone. And this caused one of the judges to quip in that case. I can't remember what it was, a concurring opinion or a dissenting opinion, but that the difference between the two standards were this: to defer or not to defer, that is the question. And they chose at that point not to defer in factual sufficiency. So then, 4 years later in Brooks, the court asked itself, how do you square the do not defer approach with the longstanding rule that an appellate court simply cannot substitute its opinion for that of the fact finder? And then the court pointed to its own 2008 opinion in Lancon versus State, where the court had qualified already that no deference standard, and reminding us that even in a factual sufficiency review, the jury is the sole judge of the weight to be given the evidence and the credibility determination.